need you here on my mind every hour of the day. Without your sweet inspiration,
it's Tuesday night, everybody. It's 7 p.m. on the Left Coast, and it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson welcoming you to an hour of sweet conservative inspiration. If you'd care to do so, interact with comments and questions on Twitter. I try to keep an eye on that. I do fairly well. During the show, you can ask me stuff over there. I'm at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. Now, let's get going. My first guest tonight, and I'm pretty excited about this because this is something I'm very interested in, and I think there will be people listening that will take great interest in it as well. This guest is Deborah Atkinson. Deborah has been speaking on fitness and life-enhancing topics for more than 30 years. She calls herself a barely boomer. She speaks frequently on active aging. She's a certified Coach U graduate and coaches clients in wellness, personal relationships, academic choices, career moves, growing their personal training businesses, and more. Deborah Atkinson, thanks for taking time to be on the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to talk about this.
Yeah, I listened to a couple of your videos. I was really interested. The fellow who helped book you said, might you be interested in Deborah Atkinson, and gave me some links to read, to watch, etc. And I got sucked in. I spent an hour looking at stuff, listening to stuff, etc. And then I got back to him and said, oh, yeah, please. I'd love to have this gal on the show. And I know that there are a lot of people listening who are 45 on up, and they will really benefit about what you're going to say tonight. And I'll tell people that you sort of emphasize women talking, because we're the ones that have real crazy hormonal changes after 50. But a lot of what you get into, whether it's sleep or exercise or protein or what have you, I think it'll apply to men as well. And most of the men that might be listening will probably have a wife or a sister or somebody that would also be very interested in a lot of your writings, your videos, etc. So, Deborah Atkinson, would you take a few minutes, tell us what you used to do early in your life as far as exercising more, eating less, whatever. How in the world did you change after you hit 50 and why?
Okay, the dirt, here it comes. All right. So, you know, I was the proverbial fitness instructor. So this is in the day before we knew that teaching 3 or 4 fitness classes a day really was not a good thing. You know, that's really putting your cortisol, your stress hormones, on overdrive. So I was doing a lot of that, and then had just really a love for endurance exercise. So I was never going to be fast, but endurance was my jam. So I did 5 marathons. I had done 3 Ironman, I think, and that's the ultimate of triathlon. So that's like, they give you 17 hours to do that, just for anybody who's not sure what that is.
Wow.
So I took a lot of that, believe me. But, you know, all of those things, it kind of contributed to, you know, the situation that a lot of people find themselves in, that, you know, what I was doing isn't working anymore. You know, the diet I was doing, the exercise I was doing, suddenly stopped working. Or you might be in the other camp and you felt like you never really needed to pay that much attention. You didn't have to exercise that hard, and the game changes. Well, the game changed for me when I was 49. I decided, you know, my only son was going off to college. He was going to get a life, and I decided I better get one that has something to do with other than him, right? And we had had some great successes in the fitness industry, so I wanted to take my business online. And, you know, that was a big life change. I didn't count on the seven or so more that came after. Broken relationships, selling the house, you know, I moved two states away, you know, it goes on, and you couldn't even write it. I mean, nobody would believe it if you wrote it that way, but that was my life for a little bit, in about 14 months worth of eight major life changes. At 49, I wasn't experiencing hot flashes or night sweats, but we know what was going on under the hood. Hormones are changing. You know, it just is right. True. And what I had to do, because I was chained to my computer, this little silver box was my life. And I, you know, the day after I quit my job in insurance and safety and security, I said, what am I doing? I have college tuition to pay in 8 months. And so I had a little urgency, right? A little stress going on that this needed to go, like, right now. I was all in. And so all of that happening, I stopped exercising the way I had been for 30 years and was maybe pulling myself away from the computer to do 20 minutes a day, you know, knowing I felt better when I did it, but I just felt like I got to do that one more thing. And that started at, you know, 6 in the morning and went until 9 at night a lot of times. And it was hard to pull away. What I found after 14 months, though, was I was getting all kinds of compliments. Like, what are you doing? You look great. And I actually had more energy than I had when I was exercising so much. I was the same weight and the same body composition. And just to be clear, that was good. I mean, good and healthy, not crazy, extreme, anything. Right. Just a good, healthy weight. And, you know, so I proved the science that I was actually putting into programs at the time. You know, I'm a study of one. So I as I say that, you know, I let everybody know, you know, that's never a good thing, that one person it worked for, and will it work for you? But, you know, I'm definitely a believer. And in all of the hormone research that I've done since, you know, proves that exercise less, eat more. There's some parameters there. It's exercise less, but with better purpose, and eat more of the right foods. And we've had it backwards for so long. You know, calories don't control your weight. Hormones do.
Well, and that's what I found so very interesting as I read that. And I know some about cortisol. I know that there have been pills you could see here and there where it would control that or whatever. But there's a direct correlation between stress and that particular hormone. Mm-hmm. And I also read quite a bit a few years ago about the glycemic index and mm-hmm. and what that does with our weights and so forth. What did you find briefly? And by the way, for anybody listening, I've got this stuff linked at the website. I've got a link on her name that goes to her website, flipping50.com. It's all spelled out, flipping50.com. You can find everything we're going to cover tonight there, plus a whole lot more. She has videos, she has papers that you can ask for and get for free on some things like sleep, etc. So there's just all kinds of things you can get there. It's a complete resource, online resource for being in shape, not necessarily being skinny, but for being in good, healthy shape and taking good care of yourself, especially as you age. But Deborah Atkinson, what was the relationship between hormones and weight?
Well, here's what happened. So, you know, the women we're talking to here and the men, you know, there is such a thing as menopause, right? You're right. You know, they have so many less or fewer hormones to contend with that we tend to focus on women. But after the age of 45, and it can happen earlier, mm-hmm. what gets our attention is estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, the sex hormones. So we know as women go into perimenopause and menopause, that those begin to tank. The levels that we had once aren't there anymore because we're, you know, going out of productivity mode and transitioning. So that gets our attention, but really what's wreaking havoc is cortisol. It's the stress hormone, and it together with insulin really are the ones that they've always been there. But now the problem is amplified because we have all this other chaos going on. So you might have been getting away with a lot of exercise, or you may have dieted in the past and been able to lose weight. But what you do when you do that, whenever we've lost weight, we lose a percentage of muscle. And, you know, the older we get, we can't afford to lose muscle. We've got to be keeping it and or maintaining it or growing it while we're getting older. Because a friend of mine, Dr. Gabrielle Lyons, talks about, you know, muscle is the longevity organ, you know, and it's so true. If you've got more lean muscle when you're 90 than the next person, you know, you're going to be carrying your own tray in the cafeteria. You are then going to be the sexy person. You know,
right.
In the cafeteria, that's going to be it. Might have been a red convertible at one point, but it's not going to be that later. You know, so maintaining muscle is really important, but that cycle of weight loss and dieting, so we lose some fat, but we lose a percentage of muscle. If we gain weight back, and I'm just guessing that anybody who's ever lost weight has gained some back, that's 100% fat. So do you see, if you cycle through that more than a few times in a decade, you're really getting fatter by default. Even if your weight is the same as you were in high school, it's probably not looking the same or feeling the same in your genes. So we've got to really kind of work on that. And the cortisol, here's where this is the kicker. You could be doing everything right, exercise-wise and diet-wise. And when I say diet, I mean the lifestyle kind of diet. I don't mean on one with an exit ramp. But you could have found, okay, here are the right things for me to do, and yet if your cortisol level in your body is up because of sleep deprivation, because of a relationship issue or financial issues, or because of too much exercise, any of those can elevate cortisol. And when your body is high in cortisol, what it does is says, okay, stop things. We're going to slow this metabolism down. It's a self-protection mode. I mean, we all think it backfires on us, but it's meant to preserve energy and to save us in case, right? We need it.
Wow. It's amazing how that can happen. I ordered the little pamphlet you have, and I would tell everybody to get this, about sleep. And it's titled Sleep Yourself Skinny. Not saying that you can just sleep around the clock and you'll get skinny, but the fact is that each of us needs an adequate amount of sleep, and that is an integral part of what our hormones and what our body is doing. And you also say in there in the beginning that enough sleep and good sleep is crucial to weight loss and maintenance, and that weight loss aids in better sleep. So it's kind of an interdependency there.
It's so much so. So if you could just even imagine a clock, right? And at every one of the hours, instead of it saying one or two, imagine that there are about a dozen hormones that really come into play. But what's happening with all of them is they're pointing back and forth at each other. It's integrated, not isolated. So when we try to get healthier or lose weight by only exercising, we're missing out on the rest of the balance. So many things come into play. And activity-wise, sleep, your stress, your exercise, your nutrition, your rest, how much you don't exercise, the days that you actively get some rest, all of those things are also pointing back and forth. So I like to put someone in kind of a pyramid and say, all right, what's the number one thing at the top of the mountain that for you we need to work on that will have a domino effect on the others? So we're focusing on one thing, not driving ourselves crazy like with a New Year's resolution, you know, change on January 2. We're doing five things all full force, right?
Right.
It's just one. If you focus on one, it's not that the other things aren't important or that you can't do them, but if you just focus on one, you're probably going to be a lot better off in terms of really changing things. And let's talk about sleep a little bit. What hormones are involved? Cortisol, we talked about. So cortisol, we give it a bad rap. It is the stress hormone, but it's also the energy hormone. It should be up at certain points a day. It should be low at other times a day. So up ideally early in the morning, you know, in our morning, when you feel more productive, you're that person who focuses better, gets more done in the morning. Your cortisol is to thank for that. And you know, if you're staring at the ceiling at 2 a.m., your cortisol is to blame partially for that. It's your dial needs to be turned. You know, you've got like a baby, your days and nights are mixed up. So cortisol is one that with good sleep, you know, we can improve it during the day. So you're going to have less cravings. You're going to have more optimal energy at the right time, and you're going to get to sleep better the next day. But two more are really important for our sleep. Growth hormone, we've talked about muscle. Growth hormone is released in our deepest cycle of sleep. So if you're one of those people waking up frequently, or you have someone who snores or a dog, you know, jumping on and off the bed, that can really be disruptive to your muscle. So you've got to, even if you're lifting weights and you're eating your protein, if you don't have that growth hormone, you're going to be missing one of those components really important to helping you keep that lean tissue. So sleep may be the first thing on your list. And the other hormone there is testosterone. Women have less of it than men, and yet both men and women start to decline in testosterone. For men, it's really easy to boost testosterone levels. If they spend some time in the weight room, start strength training, they can boost their testosterone pretty easily. Mm-hmm. Women have a harder time because we had less to begin with. And partially this may be true because women, notoriously, we used to exercise with the hour of power, right? I mean, we'd go, we're going to turn on the treadmill at the same speed, same incline, and do that hour, right? And
right.
Instead of, you know, exercising short and quick and maybe some interval training a couple of days a week, and for anybody listening, you know, a little is good. More is not better because you can still put yourself into too much cortisol if you do too much of a good thing. So one or two times a week and then recover and go for a long walk on other days. But that kind of a balance, because women aren't used to doing it, we still kind of gravitate to what we did in our 20s and 30s, and it's just not going to work anymore. So we need that testosterone boost, and sleep helps.
Wow, wow. It's very interesting. We're going to be talking about this and more when I come back with my guest, Deborah Atkinson. The Tammy Jackson Show is sponsored by Robar Companies. They are a true custom firearms finishing shop located in Phoenix, Arizona, found online at robarguns.com. I don't mention this every week, but I should mention it. Robar is owned by USMC Lieutenant Colonel retired Freddie Blish. And let me tell you, they do a lot for the military. So if you are a former military person, if you're a vet, if you're a law enforcement person, and you want to contact Robar, they will have some great, great deals for you to help your carries as far as finishes, aftermarket customizations, trigger work, etc. You let them know that you are law enforcement, that you're military or a vet. They will help you out. Once again, if you want to give your worn firearm new life, or you want a new custom pistol or rifle, check out Robar Companies, found at robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
The 405.
Shop Amazon. Support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
405.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch.
Tammy Jackson. I am back with my wonderful guest, Deborah Atkinson. If you're just joining the show, Deborah has been speaking on fitness and life-enhancing topics for more than 30 years. She's a barely boomer. She speaks frequently on active aging. We are having a fantastic conversation about fitness and her website. So you'll want to go there after the show's done. You want to hear everything she says. You want to hear my next guest. But after the show is over, go to flipping50.com. That's all one word, all spelled out, flipping50.com. Tremendous resources there. Before the break, Deborah Atkinson, we were talking about sleeping, and I asked you during the break if you would talk a little bit about the fact that if you don't get adequate sleep, it can affect your cognitive abilities, much like having a drink, two drinks, three drinks, etc.
So true. Yeah, and it's such a good analogy. And so we're not talking, of course, it doesn't change your blood chemistry. I mean, you don't have a blood alcohol content, of course, but your reaction, your coordination are very compromised. It takes 2 hours, you know, is kind of the line where we know there are statistical differences in your reaction skill. So let's say, you know, any of you who are cutting off an hour, you know, at night because you're staying up late just to finish that movie, or, you know, you can't pull yourself away from the family because everybody else is staying up, and then you have to set your alarm and get up really early and say you're driving to work. Your reaction skills hitting the brake, you know, are not as good as they should be. I mean, they're that compromised that legally, you know, you would have the reaction skills of somebody who is legally tipsy. And when you lose 4 hours of sleep, and that may sound like a lot, but really when you think about it, most of us push our bedtime. we don't actually go to sleep when our eyelids are drooping. You know, there's something that we want to do. We're watching a screen, or we have a screen in our lap, and we probably have another one beside us, right? That's not going to help our sleep anyway. And then we also are, most of us who are working are getting up to an alarm clock. So we know we're not waking up naturally. We're being woke out of sleep. And, you know, I talked about the growth hormone and testosterone being released in deep cycles of sleep. Those cycles we have are about 90 minutes long. We go through about 5 cycles at night. And so that takes us through 1, 2, 3, 4 sleep cycle, and we start it again. And we are most rested when we wake up in the morning after the end of one. So if your alarm goes off in the middle of one, or somebody snores and wakes you up in the middle of one, that's a lost opportunity potentially for growth hormone to be released. So really key there. But coming back to what happens in the morning if you're sleep deprived. You know, how many of us are exercising with good intentions, trying to do agility and reaction skills, and we are paying attention to the fact we need to do interval training. But, you know, let's say you're doing interval running on a treadmill. You know, your balance is not good. And, you know, more than one person has been hurt coming off of a belt or not stepping on and off of it correctly. So you've got to be careful with, you know, having a plan A, this is what I mean to do for my exercise, but also having a plan B or even a plan C when you're sleep deprived. Should you move? Yes, probably it'll help you sleep better the next night, but be more careful about how you move.
Wow. It's lots of interesting stuff. And again, you can find this at flipping50.com. We've just got about a minute and a half left here, Deborah. What would you recommend, or do you recommend, a base amount for working out for, say, a woman over 50 or a man over 50? What do you think of as optimal?
Great question. So, you know, I will have to say this. It's a little different depending on who you are and what, you know, if I could say, what have you been doing for the last 4 weeks? It really needs to be relative. So I wouldn't want you to start doing today just a blanket statement that fits everybody, because we know we're all so different. But eventually, progressing to this point makes a good mix. So 1 or 2 times a week doing interval training, and intervals are high intensity. The higher intensity, the shorter duration. So when I'm talking 20 to 30 minutes start to end, that's including your warm up. So, you know, if you're thinking, I don't have time, perhaps you do, right? You just have been thinking about it totally differently. And then, you know, a long, slow exercise is okay, but what we're looking for is the kind with no heart rate monitor, nobody telling you what intensity or speed or how far. You're ideally going outside and finding some green space, trees, grass, and there's a total difference to that kind of exercise. It's very hormone balancing. It may not be the biggest calorie burner, but remember from the very beginning, hormones, not calories, are in charge of your weight and your energy. And then 2 times a week for weight training. And I probably didn't say that for emphasis purposes in the right order. Weight training is your best friend. So when in doubt, if it's a day you should do weights and intervals, but you have short amount of time, do the weights. Because by the end, that's going to boost your metabolism.
Right. And I know it's good for your muscle. It's good for your metabolism. It's also, I think, weight bearing is very good for your bones, and that's very important. So I guess the bottom line is that those of us over 50 have to work out smarter, not more. And there's a lot of information at Flipping 50. Deborah Atkinson, it's been great talking to you. This is so interesting. I think we could talk even longer, but thanks for taking time to be on the show and share all this great information.
Tammy, thanks for having me. And I would love, if anybody's listening and they've got a question we didn't answer, flipping50tv.com, flipping50tv.com. They can apply to be one of the questions I answer on a Flipping 50 episode.
Wow, sounds awesome. Well, you take care, Deborah.
Thanks so much, Tammy.
You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with Graham Allen, also known as the Daily Rant Guy. The Tammy Jackson Show is now brought to you by Camera Security Now. Camera Security Now sells and installs surveillance and access control systems for businesses nationwide. For example, a site-wide surveillance system is the most cost-effective way to provide instant access to all the visual information that's critical to your business. Camera Security Now can handle your largest surveillance projects while still providing easy-to-reach personal service with upfront pricing on itemized quotes, remote access to your surveillance system with no monthly fees, and same-day virtual site visits. You can rest assured your security needs are in capable hands. For more information, visit CameraSecurityNow.com or call 800-440-1662. That's CameraSecurityNow.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
You're on the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
The 405.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, or something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
Military life is rewarding, but it isn't always easy.
Managing the stress can affect even the strongest warrior.
But I can, I will stay mission ready.
I can, I will
keep my mind and body fit.
Talk to my chaplain.
Seek care early.
Strive for progress, not perfection.
I got this.
I got this.
Take the first step.
There's no better time than now.
Reaching out is a sign of strength. Visit realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
I'm a little over halfway through the show, now joined by my guest, Graham Allen. Graham is also known as the Daily Rant Guy. He's a rising star as a prominent young conservative, 11-year Army veteran with 2 combat deployments, who is speaking out on issues that are important to conservatives, including my personal favorite, almost, protecting the Second Amendment. He is speaking out also on censored social media and securing our religious freedoms. That's another good one. His new show, Rant Nation, debuted on March 27 on CRTV. I got to take a look at that. I've seen some of the videos that he's done. It aims to be the voice for conservatives who can't make their voices heard because their jobs, communities, or because they feel like their values are no longer accepted in an increasingly politically correct America. Graham Allen, welcome to the Tammy Jackson Show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the kind words to start off.
Well, before we dive into things, I notice on your website that you're wearing a lot of Nineline apparel. And I had Tyler Merritt, who's one of the co-founders of Nineline, on the show not too long ago. He was terrific. And he actually surprised me, that guy. He sent me a Nineline I Stand for the National Anthem t-shirt, which I loved. And he promised me a ride in a chopper if I ever get back to Georgia.
Well, I would love to have my ride in the chopper at some point, too. So, Tyler's a great guy. And so what they're doing over there at Nineline Apparel is fantastic. And, they've just got a really great give-back organization.
Oh, they sure do. I love what they're doing. And speaking of giving back, you're not that old, but you are really doing some good stuff. And I saw you on a video with Chad Prather. He's an acquaintance, and I love what he does. I want to start off with a little background of you. So if people aren't listening to you yet, by the end of the show, I guarantee there will be more people listening to you. But you joined the Army, and you were in the Army. You served for 11 years. What prompted you to join the Army? Do you have a tradition of military service in your family, perhaps?
Well, no, not particularly. I'm from a very small town in Mississippi, and so you can equate it to, I was always that kid in high school growing up. You know, I love the military. We have an Air Force base where I'm from. And so, you know, I respected what our military men and women did. But I just, you know, I was in high school. I didn't really think it was for me. And then senior year, man, it was just like something changed. And I don't know. I kind of saw it as my way out of the area. And so I took it. And so I joined the Army in February of my senior year, and then I left 5 days after graduation. And
wow.
Just almost 12 years later. So I got out December 1st of 2016. If I had made it to February 2nd, it would have been 12 years.
Wow. Well, and full disclosure, I am a huge, huge supporter of our military, both active and retired and vets. So I always love to hear that, because to me, if somebody has served like you have for 11 years or a shorter amount of time even, but when you've served, then you've kind of earned the right for a bully pulpit a little bit, and I like to hear what somebody has to say that understands what price is paid for our freedoms, etc. What and where were your tours, Graham?
So I did 2 tours in Iraq both times. So I never made it to Afghanistan. Both of my deployments were in Baghdad.
Okay. So you've been over there in the sandbox, and very...
Yeah.
Very interesting place of the world, real hot spot, as it were. So,
yeah,
in more ways than one, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So, as a vet, I want to ask you, What were your thoughts about those NFL players who refused to stand for the national anthem?
If we're talking about 2 years ago when Colin Kaepernick first did it, I viewed it along with, you know, a large percentage of American population. I viewed it as even if the message was the right way, like even if what he was originally protesting for was for, you know, real reasons of things that really needed to be talked about, which no one's negating that there, you know, isn't racial injustices that still happen in our country. No one was ever negating who it was that he was trying to protest. The vast majority of people had a problem with the way he chose to protest. And kneeling for the anthem is viewed by a vast majority of Americans as a slap in the face to the estimated 1.3 million veterans who have died and lost their lives fighting for your freedoms. And so it's kind of an irony, right? So those veterans fought and lost their lives for you to have the very freedom to basically spit in their face, in my opinion. So, you know, right. It's kind of a weird thing there. But if we fast forward to this previous year, I just thought it was complete garbage across the board, because 99.8% of the people that were kneeling were only doing it for trending purposes, and especially were only doing it because Donald Trump said not to. And that's what irritated me the most, is that now you're going to disrespect those veterans just simply because you have a agenda with something that the president said. And so, you know, those are my very short thoughts on the topic, I guess.
No, well, I really appreciate that. And I tell you what, it made me mad. And I was talking to my stepmom one evening, and she doesn't have a lot of military in her family. She comes from Missouri, but she's kind of an old-fashioned gal and has old-fashioned sensibilities about this country and so forth. And I asked her what she thought about it, and she goes, "Oh, it makes me so mad. I never cared that much for football anyway, and I refuse to watch it. With those people doing that," she goes, "my goodness, how could they be so disrespectful?" And as we talked about it, I never saw her so agitated before in my life, and she was just ticked off. And I thought, well, good for you. Because she's the sweetest woman. You never see her riled up at all. She's got this Southern thing about her and just is all graciousness and a real lady. But boy, that got her fired up. And I think it did that with a lot of us, Graham.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And so, like I said, even removing the emotions of feeling like it was disrespectful, going back to what was supposed to be the original reason for the protest in the first place, you know, I think as adults we have to realize, okay, even if our intentions were good, I think that Colin Kaepernick did that saying, "I'm going to disrespect veterans"? No, I don't necessarily think that he did that. Did he do it to do a dramatic and drastic way to prove a point? Yes. But as adults, you have to be able to go back and say, you know what, maybe I messed up there, and maybe I should go about it a different way and change my approach of how I'm doing it. But he never did that. And, you know, and here we are 2 years since he initially took the protest. And what has really changed, and what did it really help at the end of the day? And that's another thing you have to ask yourself as a person. You know, what did I actually do, and what did I help? And if anything, he didn't do anything but further divide a lot of Americans.
Divided a lot of America, and probably lost a lot of revenue for the NFL. And I can't imagine, quite frankly, I've heard you say this, how they had a job to do. Any of the rest of us, if we got to work and decided, hey, we're going to protest this and we're doing it on the company's time, I don't think that would fly. So
No, not at all.
I thought, oh my goodness. I want to talk a little bit about some of your videos. And for anybody that's interested, he's got a YouTube channel. Now, I don't know if you're going to keep doing those with your new TV now or your new show on CRTV, which is, will be fantastic. But you do have a lot of videos up there that people can still go look at. And it's a treasure trove. It's the YouTube channel is just Graham Allen. So it's easy to find. That's A-L-L-E-N. And you can find all these videos. But you had in one of your videos, there was some footage in there you had making fun of CNN because they had some idiot with a gun on there shooting an AR-15 at a range. And he called it a full semi-automatic weapon. And it said it was a weapon designed to inflict maximum damage. And more full disclosure, Graham, I'm a concealed carry holder. I'm a shooter. I was trained not just by an NRA instructor, but I also did an advanced tactical concealed carry training with a highly respected Navy SEAL. And so I've done all this stuff, and you didn't hear it in the first half hour, but one of the sponsors of this show is a place called Robar Companies or Robar Guns in Phoenix, Arizona, the owner of which is a Lieutenant Colonel USMC retired and also a head instructor at Gunsight. And so I see stuff like this and I just roll my eyes. That was hysterical. A full semi-automatic weapon, Graham.
Well, to me, the saddest part to me is not necessarily the guy that said it. It's the fact that CNN just posted it anyway. You know, and that's the part that I think a lot of people don't get. When they see these news networks that are doing these things, they don't understand how media outlets like CNN and all of those do not care about the truth, and they do not care about the right information getting out. They only care about their narrative having it spun the way they want it to be spun getting out there. And so when you see this supposed expert who was either a retired Army colonel or Army general, one of the two, I can't remember, but he's supposedly this know-it-all, end-all, be-all gun expert. That's how they portray him to be. And it's very obvious to anyone who has any training on a weapon at all that he barely knows what he's doing in the first place. And anyway, to me, that seems to be the more scarier thing is the fact that you have these huge outlets like CNN just posting these lies and these false truths of what's actually going on.
Yeah. Yeah. If they didn't vet the guy at all. I know he claimed to have some rank in the military. And I know you made a little joke and asked if he was in the Air Force or something like that, which I know that yeah. I have a lot of friends in the military and I know the different branches love to give each other smack. But I got to tell you, well, I thought, first of all, okay, he's not a Marine because Marines are all riflemen and they would all know. And I'm thinking about everything else he wasn't. And I thought, well, all I know is that I know more about that gun he's shooting than that dude seemed to know. Maybe he's been spending too much time in Colorado. I don't know. If you're just joining the show, my guest is Graham Allen. He's also known as the Daily Rant Guy. He's a rising young star as a young conservative. He's an 11-year Army veteran with 2 combat deployments, as he told us earlier. They were to Iraq. And he's speaking on issues that are important to conservatives, including protecting the Second Amendment, which is one of my big deals. I love talking about the Second Amendment and have done it quite a bit. And he's got a new TV show on CRTV called Rant Nation. So you want to check all this out after the show's over. Graham, I want to talk about the Second Amendment some. As I said, I'm a concealed carry holder. I call myself kind of a gun evangelist of sorts. And I want to get your thoughts on David Hogg and the March for Our Lives, all these teenagers that want guns banned.
Okay. where to begin? One, and first and foremost, I just want to say this, is that, you know, and I did say this on Fox News, but I'll repeat it again. Our rights and our freedoms as Americans are not up for debate. They're just not. If we want to have a conversation about improving And improving doesn't mean reducing a freedom in any way. But if we want to have conversations on how to, you know, add to freedoms, then I'm all about that. And so is the majority of America. But when you start having conversations the other way, well, then we have a problem. As far as David Hogg and all the, you know, the televised now social media stars, Parkland survivors, if you think that it's all them and that these 17-year-olds are truly coming up with all these ideas and all these dispositions and their stances and all this mess without political figures and adults behind them pulling the strings, then you're not paying attention. You know, you can look at the latest Laura Ingraham scandal. I saw the tweet that Laura Ingraham said, and it really wasn't a bad tweet at all, in my opinion. All it said was simple facts, that David Hogg with a 4.1 GPA had been denied by four universities. That was it. That was all the tweet said. It didn't say that David Hogg was the Antichrist. It didn't say, you know, anything, you know, like that. It said that, you know, it just gave the truth. And right. David Hogg then responds with his bully tactic, of which he is the worst kind of bully because he is a bully that can't take it, right? So it's okay for him to now pull the victim card whenever someone attacks him, but then he can throw attacks at anybody else. And so now we're even into a more dangerous situation in America where a 17-year-old with a large Twitter following can essentially decimate a person's financial stability to be able to take care of their family simply because they hurt his feelings. And we have million-dollar companies listening to the whines of a 17-year-old. I mean, it is a very dangerous thing that we've started here. It's truly baffling to see how some of this stuff is starting to unravel. It's just crazy. And if you think that a 17-year-old naturally thought when he saw a tweet from Laura Ingraham that he didn't like, I'm going to use my Twitter following to force companies to pull their AdSense from her show and demonetize her and ruin her financially and put pressure on Fox News to fire her, even though they've come out and said now that they're not going to, but this was the initial plot, was to fire her because she's not going to bring in as much money. That's not a normal 17-year-old's thought process. And that's not him that's doing that. I refuse to believe it. That was not his idea. That was somebody else's idea for him, because 17-year-olds just, they don't think like that. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say?
Absolutely.
Thought process.
Yes, I couldn't agree more, Graham. I've been calling them teenage puppets since this has all been going on. And it's interesting because at the same time that people are starting to listen to them like they're the end-all and be-all of wisdom on firearms, at the same time we hear people saying, well, maybe we should have an age limit, age requirement for anybody wanting to get a gun. And I thought, well, wait a minute. You can't have it both ways. Either these people are the wisest things since Yoda, or they're absolute idiots that can't have a gun or vote or anything else until they're about 30 years old. But you can't have it both ways. At first, when I heard the age requirement, Graham Allen, I thought, well, I don't know. And then as I thought about it more than 5 seconds, I thought, wait a minute. Every brother, every cousin, every relative I had that is a hunter, they started hunting at a very young age. I mean, most of them had their rifles at least by age 10 and had taken hunter safety courses and had, my cousin Bryce, I believe he had a 4-point at age 11 that he sent me a picture of. I thought it was fantastic. And these are kids that have lots of common sense, and they wouldn't be spouting any of this anti-Second Amendment stuff. So I just say pooey on that idea of the age requirement. On the other hand, I like what you had to say. I think listening to somebody like a David Hogg and some of these teenagers that are whiners, I'm not going to go there.
Right, exactly. And I think that at the end of the day, what happened at Parkland was a horrible, horrible tragedy. But to automatically assume that a group of 17-year-olds that are trying to be Twitter famous off of a situation is not the right way to go about it either, because 17-year-olds are not experts on a whole lot of things. And I think that anyone in their 30s now can look back and say, well, you know, I thought I knew a lot back when I was 17, but I really didn't know much of anything. And that's where we are. You know, if I was in an automobile crash, I'm not automatically an expert on driving safety and how to avoid, you know, being in another automobile crash. I mean, and that's the road that we're in. If I accidentally start a house fire and burn my house down, well, I'm not a firefighter now because, well, you know, I've lived through that, so now I know everything there is to know of it. No, that's not how it works.
It's certainly not. Certainly not. Hey, we're coming to the end of the half hour. I knew it would go fast, and it did. It has been so much fun having you on, Graham Allen. Tell people where they can find you. They can find your show on CRTV Rant Nation. What else? We've got your Twitter handle in the show page, and why don't you give that out?
Yeah, so Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter is just Graham Allen across the board, YouTube as well. You can find my new show, Rant Nation, on CRTV.com, and you can get 10% off for your annual subscription by entering code RANT.
There you go. Oh, that's awesome. And it's going to be worth it. There's a lot of other good people over there with you, including my friend Phil Robertson. So excited about your new show, and I hope it just takes off, Graham.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. I'll have you back again sometime.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. The Tammy Jackson Show on the 405 will be back next week with more great guests, including a junior in high school that has written an absolutely fabulous article about the Second Amendment, and he does not agree with David Hogg. Let me just put it there. But until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up, don't be silent, let your voice be heard, because we have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth, and I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do, and the choir sang. A good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore, and this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore. You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't. Down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time to speak, and the time is now. The squeaky wheel is always getting grease. Well, I've been sitting still on the side of the street.
Down, tell me to shut my mouth, but there's a time.